Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. 9 o'clock hour is jam-packed. We're going to get into some entertainment in a little bit. We're also going to get into a little bit later how every country's favorite ice cream is. Looking forward to that. That is going to be exciting and fun. But it is a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means, everybody. Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. James and I today are going to talk again about cell-grown meat. Or cultivated meat, which we touched on in this last year, but now Florida is trying to ban it. Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say that this was a topic that I had not heard much about until the first time we talked about it, Melissa, and ever since I've been keeping an eye on it. Mm-hmm. And I had not heard much noise about it until, wannabe President Ron DeSantis, who could not fall out of his own way. This guy is so bad at politics, just as a side note. He decided to try to make a name for himself on this, as he has done with a couple of different things. He tried to take on Disney. He failed at that. Now he's trying to take on science. Failed at that once with COVID. Now he's trying to again, and he will fail again at this. But not in state, not in Florida, he isn't.
Well, and this ban does specifically apply to Florida, which he passed in May. But now Upside, which is a California corporation, or it's in California, they're organized under Delaware law, based in Berkeley, California. They are suing Florida officials to allow people in Florida to buy whatever they want when it comes to meat. So the lawsuit is coming from, it's a nonprofit public interest law firm, Institute for Justice. They are challenging on constitutional grounds the newly enacted Florida law that bans the production, distribution, and sale of cultivated meat. This is from an article from Food Safety News that was published on Friday, the 14th.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, last Wednesday. I know what day it is. It's fine.
Time's a flat circle.
So here in the article it says, if some Floridians don't like the idea of eating cultivated chicken, there's a simple solution. Don't eat it. The government has no right to tell consumers who want to try cultivated meat that they're not allowed to. This law is about safety. This law is not about safety. It's about stifling innovation and protecting entrenched interests at the expense of customer choice.
Yeah.
So, James, when has it ever been, help me understand this. Isn't this, are we supposed to be able to have the freedom to buy products that we want to here in this country? And sell products that have been proven to be safe?
Let me double check. Let me just go ahead and throw it into the search engine. Yes. Turns out, yes. We are supposed to be able to do that in this country, the land of the free.
Yeah. But instead, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed Senate Bill 1084 on May 1st, banning the manufacture, sale, or distribution of cultivated meat in Florida. It went into effect on July 1st.
That's right, everybody. Ron DeSantis is not satisfied with taking away women's rights. He wants to take away your food rights as well.
Well, and he's couching it as a protection for farmers and the integrity of American agriculture. That's not really what it's about, though.
No. And one of the things that about this, too, and Melissa sent me over an article, which I appreciate, from the BBC that touched on this a little bit. And one of the things that came up with this was the fact that he has no leg to stand on. Like he keeps hitting the same lines every time when the subject comes up, because he not only doesn't do any new information or research on it or anything, but like a lot of people in his ilk, and this is not, and I don't mean Republicans, I mean a certain part of that party, they will double down. They will never own up to anything. They only double down on things. God themselves could come up to them and tell them something, and they will deny him and call him fake news. This is the kind of the game plan. This is the blueprint for a lot of these guys. While this is a first in the nation, law prohibits these things. They are not alone. Alabama, Arizona, and Tennessee are also trying to do something similar in their states.
Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that lab-grown or cultivated meat was first cleared for consumption in the U.S. in 2022. And when we covered this topic in depth earlier, one of the things that stands out to me is the fact that this product is grown from cultivated cells. Mm-hmm. So it's actually animal product, but there's no harm to the animal, and this meat is grown in a very sterile and safe food safety, you know, environment that they're not dealing with the things that we're dealing with contamination, with you know, the bird flu, with fecal incidents, with E. coli, with I just don't understand the pushback against this, James. I really don't.
Well, part of it is too the people that are pushing back of it, mostly with the biggest names as far as putting their names behind this, like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Ron DeSantis, some of these people that are doing this. Part of the issue is in the frustration on either side of this, even trying to debate it, is the fact of the doubling down and the fact that there is no owning of any of this. These are the same people that would tell somebody who was born in a test tube or something like that you're not an actual human being. That kind of thing. And another thing too that is noteworthy about this too, Melissa, and part of the reason why not only you're frustrated but a lot of people are frustrated with this, is you have people making these decisions who have never been hungry. How about we ask the people who don't have any food or don't have enough food what they think of this? Mm-hmm. Let's actually ask. I don't know. Here's just a quick note to any politician, whether you're in Florida or anywhere else. What are your constituents saying? Because that's your job. I feel like that gets lost in the shuffle, especially this time of year as it's election season and some of these things. But you have one job, and that is what your constituents are asking of you. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about your opinion. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the president or if it is somebody that is running for high school president. Like, it is not about your opinion. It is about what your constituents think.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and the idea of winning and losing a campaign, there are certain things that we need to remind our politicians about. We appreciate the politicians out there. Not everybody wants to do that job. And we're seeing less and less people want to do that job. We need to have a balanced conversation more going forward if we're to hope that for people to get into politics. But at the same time, we need to get if we're not going to get the money out of politics, let's get some of these people who want their 15 seconds of fame out. and they don't belong in there. For one, they don't do what their constituents are asking them to do. It's about them. And their opinions and getting on the front page or getting on news or TV or something like that. And it's not about the health of our country, the betterment of our country. The science isn't going forward with this if it isn't okay, if there is no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideas behind this, if you want to go back to the previous Kitchens Open segment, we talked about this, just a synopsis version of it. We are running out of land. We are killing our ozone. We are doing certain things that we can, that are self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
This is to try to counter that.
Well,
to a degree.
Right. And one of the things that DeSantis said when he put this ban into effect is that he wants to keep Florida's agriculture industry strong and thriving. Cultivated meat is designed to be a threat to agriculture as we know it. Now, is that, I don't know that that's, he's obviously spinning it into a way that makes it sound good for what he's trying to accomplish. But one of the things that we stand on and are proud of in this country is our innovation and our ability to, okay, this isn't working great. Let's try something else. We have this new innovation. Let's implement it and make things better. If we can no longer have cruelty. You know, like this is a, this would allow us to produce meat without raising and slaughtering animals. It would provide a cruelty-free alternative that it still tastes and has the same texture of conventional meat.
I all strong points. I will admit that I was only able to do about a day or two of research on this, not a ton as much as I would like to or anything. But I will say, in the research I did, Melissa, you know who I didn't hear from about this topic? Farmers. I didn't hear anything from any farmers about this. The people that DeSantis is talking about, quote unquote, defending, I heard nothing from, whether it's out of the state of Florida or it is nationally. I heard no farmers talking about this. I heard nobody in the ag industry talking about this. The only people I've heard talking about it are scientists and this fool.
And politicians.
Yeah. Yeah. That are trying to distract you from actual problems that are going on in your communities, because this hopefully will catch a headline in the national news and then they can get out there and maybe make a presidential run that will fail horribly.
Well, now they're being taken to court for this, because it's the same reason that California can't ban orange juice made from oranges grown in Florida. Florida can't ban this meat that is produced in California.
And it's
we're one big nation.
Yeah. Well, and instead of getting things actually done for their communities and their constituents and everything, they're spending more time in the courtrooms because of this. And DeSantis has still got trouble with Disney and everything. they're still working on that. And there's three other we didn't even gotten into book banning or any of the other things going on in Florida right now. So this is just one more thing to try to distract people. And honestly, to DeSantis' own words, to try to get a win.
Yeah.
A win, people. This is not sports. This is me, of all people, talking about this. The guy who likes to make sports metaphors out of everything. politics is not sports. Quit treating these politicians and these political parties like they are your sports team or is about winning or losing. There is no losing in politics. If the people chose it, that's the direction we're going. There is no winning or losing in politics. And something like this is, I think, a great topic to bring up again, Melissa, especially with what's going on there.
Well, and the other thing I would like to look at along with this topic, you know, if politicians were going to ban something that is actually bad for us, which that has not been proven with cell cultured meat, it's safe. It's been determined to be probably more safe than actual, you know, slaughtered animals. Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a minute about the food additives that we have here in the United States that are banned in Europe and other countries because they're not safe.
Yeah.
So one particular, so this article is from CBS News, and it was published in February of 2023, and it's called U.S. Food Additives Banned in Europe. Experts say what Americans eat is almost certainly making them sick. From baguettes to focaccia, Europe is famous for its bread, but there's one ingredient conspicuously missing, potassium bromate. Mm. It's a suspected carcinogen that's banned for human consumption in Europe, China, and India, but not in the United States. So the chemical compound is used by some food makers, usually in the form of fine crystal or powder, to strengthen dough. It's estimated to be present in more than 100 products. Mm. Now, this this additive, there's differences in regulations that people in the U.S. have developed cancers that they would certainly that would not have developed if they had been eating exclusively in Europe. Mm. That's a little scary.
Yeah, yeah. There's actual things out there right now that if he or anybody in that ilk wanted to go against, mm-hmm. I think you would actually get some support on. You would actually mm-hmm. get some other. Now, there has been a tiny, and I cannot stress that enough, a tiny bit of bipartisan support towards this. But it is not on the same wavelength that he is baking. Senator Feinman and some others have mentioned is wanting to do more homework on this. Not that it is a death nail to it, but hey, we want to just do a little more research on this before we open it up to the public, kind of thing. Now that part of it, I don't mind people questioning things. It's you get the answers. Okay, I have changed my mind, or okay, that confirms what I needed to know, or something like that. That again, going back back to the doubling down part of it, is all they're doing here with this. Is just bring, hey, what I don't want to talk about anything that's actually going to make me look bad. What's something where I can actually push it in the other direction?
And they also look for topics that they can make people angry about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. What is going to make people upset? Well, I'm taking away their meat. Okay. I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, vegetarians or alternative protein sources, like eating plant-based protein. And there's been a lot over the last several decades. There have been a lot of products on the market that were like meat replacements. I ate a lot of them growing up because my family tried for a while to be vegetarian when I was a kid. And let me tell you, some of those things are actually really disgusting. that are called food. I would be very interested to try a cell cultured meat because it's still meat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still grown from the cells of an animal, but it's grown without cruelty. It's sterile because it's grown in a sterile environment, and there's no killing involved. There's no death.
The idea of do you think Ron DeSantis is okay with the different types of milk out there that are available for people that are lactose intolerant, or the type of ice creams that are? A lot of these started in a lab. A lot of these started working that way. Does that affect our dairy industry? Is that killing our dairy? Is that hurting? I mean, where is he standing on these other things? How far is he willing to take this?
That's a good question, and I know that there has been some pushback on calling a plant-based milk replacement product milk, you know, like calling it almond milk or calling it dairy or coconut milk, just terminology.
Yeah.
But having those alternate products, I think that's part of the beauty of this world that we live in now, is that we have these options for people who can't digest dairy. There is an alternative.
What?
For people who don't want to have animal cruelty as part of their diet that they eat, they have this other alternative. They can have plant-based protein. They can have cell-cultured meats. I mean, it's not affordable yet, but it's not going to get any more affordable if we're banning it.
Well, and you hit this on the head early on, the idea of people having options and mm-hmm. being able to make their choices. Now, if nobody wants this, guess what? Nobody's going to buy it, and it ain't going to do very good, and it'll go away. Like,
right, it won't be on the market anymore.
Like the pet rock. the pet rock was big for a little while there, faded out. Yeah. Nobody's got them anymore. Nobody's buying pet rock.
I don't know what you're
rock.
Talking about, James. My six pet rocks on the shelf behind me are very offended by your saying they're not popular anymore.
I would like to apologize to Dale, Henry, Joe. Jess, what's the
don't other forget one? Matilda.
Matilda, Gladys.
But let's talk for just one more moment about these food additives that we have here, because I do want to point out that in a statement to CBS News, the FDA said that when used properly, potassium bromate converts into a harmless substance during food production. However, the FDA acknowledged that not all of the compound used in any given recipe may convert during the production process, but that control measures were utilized to minimize the amount in final products. So basically they said, yes, we know that this known carcinogen is being added to food. Yes, if it's processed properly, there shouldn't be that much left after the food is produced, but sometimes it does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and what part of that is okay?
Yeah, yeah.
We're putting poison in your food. It should be processed out, but maybe it's not.
Hey, everybody, look, we may have left a little poison in there. We are really sorry about that. We're just going to move on now, though.
We're not going to take, you know.
But we should ban books. We're going to put our focus over there, because we're not going to worry about the poison in your food or anything like that. Or the fact that we could be actually, especially another silly part of this, and I don't mean to drag out the point or anything, but Florida, as we are speaking right now, there are parts of the Everglades that are going in back to the ocean. Of all the states that could use to free up some land for everybody, including their cattle ranchers, Florida could really use this. It's another thing that is driving that state backwards. along with the education system and what they're doing over there. I've got friends in Florida, so I apologize if I take this one a little personal, but there's a lot of good people in that state that are hurting right now, and it starts and ends with him.
Hmm. Well, and there are so many things that they could be doing to help move this forward. You know, why not work with cattle producers, meat producers in your state on subsidies to help expand their process. You know, you could start growing cultivated meat on your farm instead of and have a balance to it, because eventually we will get to the point where the price of cultivated meat comes down and the price of like actual slaughtered animals goes up.
And if this
will be a tipping point where they become, they switch. I mean, how else can we? Producing animal meat is one of the things that makes the most emissions into our atmosphere.
Yeah. And if that doesn't do anything for you, everybody, another report that I saw, this could actually help lower the price of bacon. And if we do anything as a society this year, let's work towards that, everybody. Lowering the price of bacon. It's gotten too high. It's gotten too high.
Yes, but part of that is we have to look at those conglomerate, you know, those big grocery conglomerates mm-hmm. that are making massive profits mm-hmm. and raising the price of food when there's no reason for them to mm-hmm. be doing that aside of their price gouging.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Melissa. Very, very fun conversation. Thank you so much
thanks for playing along, James.
Oh, it was a good topic. It was a good conversation. And we're looking forward to another episode of The Kitchen's Open next week. Be sure to join us for that, everybody. And please give our front desk a call, 424-1300, 424-1300. We would love a sponsor for that segment. Call up and join and be a part of the team, everybody, and be listening mm-hmm. next Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open. Nicely done, Melissa.
Thanks, Shane.
We'll come back with some entertainment news. We'll get you ready for sports news and our news break coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to dive into some entertainment news now, and we actually kick off with some breaking news and a little melancholy news. Phil Donahue, who completely changed daytime TV back in the day, has passed away at the age of 88. Donahue died at his home surrounded by his family, including his wife of 44 years, Marlo Thomas, his sister, his children, grandchildren, and his beloved golden retriever, Charlie. Oh. His family said in the statement released to news outlets. Phil Donahue, for nearly three decades, from 67 to 96, hosted the Phil Donahue Show. And along with that signature gray hair and glasses, really changed daytime TV. Oprah Winfrey gets a lot of credit for these things, but Donahue was doing it right before and really paved the way for people like Oprah and so many other. There was a time where daytime TV was at its peak, and I think you can make the argument it was around the Donahue time, and he was part of the predecessor to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a life well lived. And I wanted to touch
legendary.
On, yeah, just a legend in the daytime TV craft. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just one of the greats. And I'm sure that as this news just broke not even 10 minutes ago, this will be talked about throughout the day, and you'll hear a lot of different people highlighting Mr. Donahue's career.
Yes.
Despicable Me director Chris Renald co-created the Minions. Well, those little guys that we see everywhere.
They are pretty cute.
And he has a very specific wish for them. In fact, something that he's trying to put into his contracts and has, in past and going forward. He does not want to see them ever make a jump to live action.
Oh, okay. Because they're doing live actions with everything now.
It's the big thing. It's something that Disney has been on for a while. We can't create...
Because they can't come up with something new.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's just take these classics and turn them into real live action movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's something he is afraid of seeing happen to the Minion characters. Mm-hmm. He says, quote, "For me, what defines the world is that it's animated and it allows us to get away with that. What we get away with, these are really cartoon ideas, like what would have been a Bugs Bunny cartoon." He adds, quote, "I think it just becomes something completely different if you do a live action version. For me personally, mm-hmm. not very appealing." But again, who knows what can happen if that's my personal feeling. That's just my personal feeling about it. So this isn't necessarily a hill he's going to die on, but it is something that he's throwing out there. And if he's throwing it out there, that means that there was talks behind the scenes about doing this.
And he's saying, no, no, please don't do that. Please.
It's one of the way creatives are trying to get ahead of production companies. This happens a lot where you'll see a new movie come out and the director will come out and trash the movie, whether it just released or it came out and it had poor release, and they will immediately kind of like deflect and blame it on the studios or something like that. And we see this kind of thing happen more so with those things than something like this, where he's getting this far ahead of something.
Yeah. Like, don't take my thing and ruin it, please.
And I'll say, by now, if you've listened to me more than 5 seconds on the air, you know how I feel about The Simpsons. I have no interest in seeing a live-action Simpsons movie or TV show or anything like that. Now, I will say, way back in the day, South Park did they played around with this idea, and they had actual teenagers or adults playing the boys, the four main characters. And it was kind of funny because they did it, tongue in cheek and had a little fun with it and everything. And that was about it. And there's a lot of people out there that will do fan fiction with this kind of stuff. But as far as actual companies doing it, when's the last one that did well? Like, none of these do well. None of these are box office sensations. Nobody is, immediately, well, I'd rather watch the live action version of The Lion King than the cartoon version. None of these really do that well either. So they just keep doing this in part because one thing, I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, but there is insurance on everything in life, including movies and TV shows. And oftentimes wait a minute. Are we going to make money off of this? Okay. Can we make more money if we just scrap the whole thing like we did with Batgirl? Okay. Or is it actually, whether it is a box office sensation or not, can we make more money if we release it and it doesn't do well? And that's oftentimes what happens, especially if you're Disney and you've got more money than Solomon. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, but don't be surprised if you see a bunch of, actors trying to look like minions.
I don't know how that's going to... Okay, here's my big beef with these live action things that they're doing. Some of the things that they have done in animation, you just can't do in real life. So they use a lot of computer generated imaging or CGI. That's not live action then.
No, it's not. No, no.
No.
Goes against.
So what's the point?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not trying to pick on the Lion King one, but it's the most recent one in my head. And you've got like big name actors doing the voices of these animals and all that. And you see the trailers of it and everything. And it's all CGI. They're not using like real animals for it or anything like that. I don't know.
And they shouldn't.
No, they should not. But the idea of it is to make it, quote, live action. And it's not really live action. It's not really,
Not if they're just using computers to make the animation.
It is a very similar thing to me as reality TV. They want to make, quote, reality TV. Well, that's not reality TV. What you're seeing, that the Real Housewives of Albuquerque, is not real life TV. That's scripted. It's just badly acted and badly written. They don't. Do you really think that they're following these people around for 24 hours and what you're seeing is the meaty parts? No. They sit down. Hey, you and you get into an argument, throw water in her face, go. And that's what they do. Like the essence of reality TV is candid camera. Is you don't know the camera's on you. That's what makes it reality TV. The second you know the camera's on you, it ceases to be reality television. It's no different than this, quote, live action stuff. It's not really live action if they're using special effects.
And computers to create this live action.
I don't think this is... It is very, very different because of the stakes that are on the line. But as far as your attitude towards this, or your dollars, just like your vote with this, demand more and don't give them the funds for this kind of stuff. Don't go and purchase these things and stuff. And maybe they'll get the point that, hey, come up with something original.
Well, and I think it's really great that the creator is outright saying, I really don't want you to turn my minions into live action characters. They're going to lose so much of the essence of what they are.
I wonder how much that will affect it. I hope that it does. Right. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. We will be back with some more fun, everybody. We're going to get to our state news and local news and some sports coverage for you. Take care of some partners. And when we come back, we're talking ice cream.
Woo!
Every country's favorite ice cream. We're getting into it when we come back on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great Monday out there. Let's talk ice cream. Today is National Soft Serve Ice Cream Day.
Woo.
I don't know how that goes with Potato Day, but you figured that out yourselves. You figured it out.
Mushy.
Nice. Yeah, there they are. And while everything could probably be made into soft serve, most Americans would probably prefer vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry, or a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a twist.
It's not very often that you find strawberry soft serve, though.
No,
usually
you don't.
Usually it's vanilla and chocolate or a twist.
I love strawberries, the actual strawberries, but I find that oftentimes, I don't know if it's just the way I grew up or what I grew up around, but sometimes strawberry-flavored things, I like more if they don't have like actual strawberry in them or anything.
Yeah, if they're strawberry-flavored, don't put chunks of strawberry in
them. Yeah.
Kind of like that with banana, too.
Same. Yeah. Like, I like the taste. I like the flavor, but I don't necessarily want to taste a chunk of banana in there. It's a, I don't know if it's the same thing or not. I might be reaching here, but I love orange juice, but not with pulp.
Really?
No, no pulp.
You don't want to chew your orange juice?
No.
Come on, James.
That's just it. Yeah. No. In one poll, 70% of people said that they prefer soft serve ice cream over hard ice cream. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a little healthier, too. Soft serve usually has 3 to 6% milk fat, while regular ice cream is more likely to have 10 to 18%.
Which is why I can eat soft serve better. It's better for my digestive system because it has less lactose in it.
Can I be honest about something with you, Melissa? This is just between us, though. Keep it between us because I feel really silly.
I won't tell anybody.
I had no idea there was this big of a difference between regular ice cream and soft serve.
Mm.
I thought they just left it out longer. You know, and they just let it get soft and everything.
Softer.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking about the last part. But honestly, I didn't know that there was that big of a difference between these two. That's really mind-blowing to me. Here's a fun fact. In some parts of Europe, it isn't called soft serve. It's called American ice cream.
That's funny. Kind of funny when you think about our last conversation.
But yes, it really is. Yeah. This is really, I did not mean for this to happen necessarily, but it's tying it together pretty good. In Greece and Romania, it's called machine ice cream. And in Ireland, they call it soft whip.
Soft whip. That makes sense.
Speaking of other countries, here's there's a new map out that shows the favorite ice cream flavor of almost every country, whether it's soft serve or regular.
Okay.
And here are the five big takeaways. Neapolitan, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, is number one in America, along with Canada, Mexico, and most of Central America, England, and Australia.
Wow. That's pretty popular.
That's a huge
list. But I mean, it is three types of ice cream.
Right. And that's a good point. So when it comes to Neapolitan ice cream, and we want the audience's vote on this one. Did you break them up into where one of them, you could always tell your family didn't like this flavor because that was the only one left.
Which one is gone first?
Yeah.
Usually the vanilla is always the one that's left.
Same. But I will say that's how it was for the most part in my family. But at some point, my dad really started liking vanilla and it was the strawberry that was left over. And I was the only one that would eat the strawberry. And I think that now
that
I'm saying
that worked out well for you.
Yeah, I think that's how I ended up liking strawberry flavored things, though. I think that's it's like
was forced
with the French loaf of bread or really any bread. My family never liked the butt end of it, the heel. So I just grew up always eating the heel, and now it's my favorite part of the bread.
It's got the most crust.
Oh, it's so good. Especially on a French loaf of bread, you get that end piece. Oh, it's so good. Overall, vanilla is the most popular, with 46 countries choosing it over other options. And the data included 80 possible flavors. Some notable vanilla fans included India, France, Switzerland, Sweden, Finland, and half of Africa.
Well, vanilla is the most versatile, and you can put any toppings on it that you want.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I could see that being a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Some big countries have flavors that are less common in the U.S. The top flavor in China and Japan is matcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the green tea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In Brazil, it's pistachio.
Ooh, I would eat that.
And as a side note, pistachio is the most the highest rising ice cream flavor. It's the one that's making the most headway here in the States.
Yeah, I could see that.
In Argentina, it's dulce de la chacha de talachare, dulce de la chacha. And in Saudi Arabia, it's mango.
Mmm, I like mango.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I'm a fan too. The results were captured through internet search data, but they don't have data for every part of the world. There's no word on the ice cream preferences of Russia, Ukraine, North Korea, Iran, Afghanistan, Cuba, and a handful of other countries.
But we're very certain they all like ice cream.
We're feeling pretty good about it. There are some strange picks, at least, compared to American preferences. Bolivia loves cinnamon ice cream. I like cinnamon, but I don't know if I'd try that. I don't know.
Yes, you would, James.
I would definitely try that. Yes, I would.
You would try it.
I don't know who I'm kidding with that one. Yes.
Not me.
I don't think I could ever fool you.
Probably not.
Chile loves pineapple.
I like pineapple ice cream.
Yeah, it's so good. Iceland loves coffee ice cream flavor. Yes.
Ooh.
My people. Yes. Mm-hmm. I have no Icelandic in me, but I immediately want to go to Iceland.
Iceland is a really interesting place to see.
Honestly, that's one of the, that's like in my top 10 of places to visit. Iceland, Greenland, they just look beautiful and incredibly interesting to me.
Yeah, the history there.
Yeah, yeah. Ethiopians are into maple walnut.
Ooh, okay. That'd be good.
Indonesia loves fig ice cream.
Hold on. Sorry, just go back a second. Maple walnut.
Yeah.
Like maple pecan is a pretty popular flavor here, but maple walnut. Interesting. That's
a good catch, actually. Yeah, I didn't catch that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting. New Zealand loves hokey pokey ice cream, which is vanilla with lumps of honeycomb toffee.
Ooh, that would be good, but the name is also just fun.
And that is such a New Zealand thing. Like, way to go, New Zealand. Like, New Zealand is the California of the countries where they just do things differently over there, and more power to them. And Denmark loves licorice ice cream.
Ooh, black or red?
Yeah,
probably black.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to try either one of them, but that doesn't sound horrible, I guess.
I watched it was like one of those food competition. There was a clip on social media, and the meal she had to make a dessert with a savory flavored ice cream, and she made pepper ice cream.
Huh.
And whatever it was with, it had something bacon was supposed to be like the focus of the meal or the flavor in the meal. And I just the judges were saying that the pepper ice cream really pulled the bacon flavor out of the other item, which is just interesting. I have never thought about having a savory ice cream.
Yeah, I hadn't either. That makes me...
But pepper would be an interesting choice.
Yeah, I think I'd try it. I definitely would try it. As I'm not going to try to fool Melissa on that one. We will take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Morning show here at WFHR. Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. We'll get into our schedule in a moment. But I do want to take a moment to talk about a couple of quick things. One of them is if you are looking for a nice palate cleanser, something fun to take a listen to, check out What the Muppet, everybody. Every Monday, my oldest daughter, Bria, and I put together this podcast for you, and go ahead and take a listen to it and enjoy. Our newest episode premiered about 4 hours ago. It's called Mulligan.
Mulligan.
Yeah, and that'll tell you a little bit about the episode, everybody. I may have thrown Bria a couple of curveballs, which is not nice to do, especially because she is she's pregnant.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I get to talk about it now. I finally get to talk about it. I kept that on wraps. I kept it on wraps for 2 months.
Whoa.
Didn't say a thing.
Wow, to go. Way to go.
I did let it slip to a couple of people off air, but I did not say anything on air about it, but
well,
now I can.
You know, I mean, you get kudos for that.
I'm going to
Grandpa.
I'm going to be a papa. Yeah. I'm so excited. Check out What the Muppet, everybody, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're curious, we got a video version for you. You can find on YouTube. Just type in your search bar, What the Muppet. And a big thank you to everybody supporting the show.
And was the movie this time Groundhog's Day?
No, not yet. Not yet. It's coming though.
Oh, I mean, with Mulligan.
It's a great question. Fantastic question
good
by
guess,
you.
Right?
Absolutely great guess. Yeah, that was very nicely done. No, it's called Mulligan because I messed up. It's check it out, everybody. And thank you so much to everyone for supporting it and supporting us here at WFHR and, of course, at Civic Media, where Melissa and I and a bunch of other Civic Media family members are going to be at the Marshfield State, the Central Wisconsin State Fair.
Yeah. I'm actually going to have a meeting with Jorge here in a little bit, and I'll give you an update on that, James. but we are going to be there Tuesday through Saturday. We'll have a table in the main building there. You can stop by and see us. Share your truth with us in the truth booth. Spin the wheel to get some WFHR, WIRI swag. We got t-shirts. We got stickers. We got t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of cool stuff. Stop on by and see what kind of cool stuff we have. Everything kicks off tomorrow with Wood County Central Wisconsin State Fair. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Let's get into our palate cleanser, looking at our schedule for today. Of course, in a little bit, Matt and Air on Air coming up. Join Jane and Greg for an amazing way to start your morning and get going, getting ready for the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff coming up this afternoon as well. Pete Schwab on a little bit later, Melissa.
Pete Schwab, he's on at 8 o'clock, right?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You meant Todd Alba.
Yes, I meant Todd. Sorry.
Yeah. He's on from noon to 2, and I think I want to say that they're down in Chicago at the DNC.
Yes, they are. Yeah, getting all ready in my old stomping grounds and over there having some fun, too. Sounds like they're staying in a nice place as well. Safe travels to everybody over there.
Yeah.
Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Be sure to join us for one of the most important voices on radio. Maggie does an amazing job every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm. And she should be well-rested off from her break and back at it.
And 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, join us for Midday Magazine, where we interview some of our local favorite people. We're kicking off this week with a great show. In part one today at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk to the Boys and Girls Club.
Ooh, all right.
Katie's joining us, and she's bringing some friends. We're going to have some teen youth. Jason and Maya are on with us, and I've never sound older. Teen youth. I don't know how I could sound older saying a sentence, but looking forward. We don't get the chance to talk to the Boys and Girls Club enough. Looking forward to that.
No, it'll be good conversation.
And after that, we will kick things off at 4:30 with our good friend Terry Johns, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. A lot to talk about with the United Way. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. I know they just had a bunch of high schoolers over to help pack their backpacks that got handed out last week, or this weekend, I believe it was.
Yes.
So that was awesome. I'm sure you'll hear all about it.
Looking forward to talking about that, and looking forward to hearing how this goes. The Drive Against Violence Golf Scramble is going on today. It actually kicks off. The lunch will be at 11. Shotgun start at noon. Now, I don't believe you can sign up for this anymore, but you can attend and support the Family Center at this great event. Be sure to check it out, everybody. And not only support this event, but other events you see from the Family Center. We will have more of these coming up. In fact, we've got a community trivia night happening, a benefit for the Family Center tomorrow from 5 to 7. Trivia will be from 7 to 8:30.
That's in Port Edwards at the Community Methodist Church, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to pre-register if you can. Greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, I think you need to have a team of 4 to 6 players to be involved, but you can then also pre-order dinner from El Cafe.
Yeah. Now, if you don't have a team, they will find a place for you. And you can find out more about this if you want to listen to the Midday interview that we had last Friday. Otherwise, encourage you to find out more by checking out the Family Center's website. That's familyctr.org, or be sure to type into your search bar on Facebook, Port Edwards United Methodist Church, and you'll be able to find out more information that way. Mm-hmm. Great show today, Melissa. Great show.
Yeah, you too, James.
Thank you so much for that, and thank you all for hanging out with us today. We appreciate it. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to get into a couple of other fun topics, and we're going to talk about the Central Wisconsin State Fair.
We can fill you in on all the details then.
Looking forward to that. We've got that one lined up for you. And Melissa and I will also be getting into a couple of other things. We're going to talk about the top state fair foods in each state.
Ooh.
And got some cool theater news. You have a good day, Melissa.
Hey. Yeah, you too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.